powered by you.
Hello, hello.
Listener supported.
This is the Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive. Answer the call.
Welcome. Welcome back, I suppose. Yeah, well, welcome. Again, thank you for your remarkable, remarkable kindness and for sustaining Relevant Radio. And as I always say, this is your gig. I just get to talk a lot, but you're the ones who are doing this work of evangelism and catechesis and providing, you know, a source of Catholic, I suppose I can say at least about the other people, a source of Catholic truth. I try to approximate it, but it's just such an honor to do this. So thank you. Well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, all right, let's go to the big book on the coffee table. Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Beautiful chapter. I will prove the holiness of my great name, profaned among the nations in whose midst you have profaned it. In other words, he's saying that we have profaned his name. And this doesn't just apply to Israel or the Jews. It applies to me and to you. That wherever we go, because we bear the name of Christ, we take Christ with us. And there are some places that we just shouldn't go because we take him with us. Have you ever considered that? That especially if you receive Holy Communion and you go to some place that's disreputable, you're carrying Christ with you, no matter where you go. So, don't think this is just an historical reference. This is an unending truth that if we profane, we're marked by the name of God, the holy name of God, and we profane that name when we take it where it should not be. So, moving on, then he's not saying, I'm gonna slap you upside the head for profaning my holy name. That might happen. But what he's saying is, I will take you away from the nations and gather you and bring you back to your own land. The response to this profanation is blessing. That can't be make sense. You sin and God blesses you. Well, he's cleansing you from impurities. That might take a little work and a little difficulty. From your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, and take stony hearts from your bodies and give you natural hearts. This is the rub here. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes. Statutes, what's this? The word in the text is mishpat, which means a judgment. And I found the most wonderful comment about the judgment. God of the Scriptures is someone who cares about justice. Now, there are two words that can be translated justice. This word mishpat can be translated justice, and tzedakah can be translated justice. The word tzedakah implies generosity and charity. It's it's righteousness. A tzaddik is a righteous man who reflects the very nature of God, which includes integrity and charity. This word is mishpat, which can also be translated justice, but it's the justice that has to do with law. Well, what's that about? The God of Scripture is someone who cares about justice, but not to bring retaliation for those who go against him, but to restore and make all things new. For God, justice is about the restoration of relationships. That which is broken is restored. For me, justice is, you're going to get yours, sucker. When I want justice. I want me to prosper and you to suffer because you deserve. That's our concept of justice. God's justice, his tzedakah, his generosity, and his mishpat, his rules, are about restoring what is broken. This to me is a profound truth, that the justice of God is not vengeful. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and we leave it to him. But his vengeance is not like our vengeance. His vengeance is to restore that which is broken. So that's the sense of this. It's amazing. Thinking, you profane my name, so I'm going to cleanse you and bring you back home and take good care of you. Well, that's, you know, you just kick them to the curb. That's what you're supposed to do with people who do that sort of thing, not God. So I think that that is just a beautiful, beautiful truth. That the justice of God is about restoring broken relationships. Well, let us now look at the gospel. Again, with the kingdom of heaven. It's in the Bible. What can I do? The kingdom of heaven is like a king. And it's a little different in the text. The kingdom of heaven is compared, and it's the kingdom of the heavens. It isn't the kingdom of heaven. It's plural. The kingdom of the heavens. Why is it plural? Why isn't it just singular? Because the heavens, St. Paul talks about the different heavens. And what he's talking about is these different celestial realms. That the word heaven and sky, uranos, it's the same word. You know, the kingdom of the sky. What does that mean? Well, these things are described in human terms. So there's a different reality, a different dimension. These different dimensions, they can only think of them as these levels of the sky that went farther and farther away. But, as I tell you, to the point of being tedious, this is really about the nature of God, God's royalness. That's what these mean. Basileia ton uranon. The royalness of the world above, the world beyond. So what's that royalness like? It's like a king in English, but it's like a man king. Like a man king. Yes, it is like a man who is a king. So that's what's going on here. So what's that royalness like? It favors people whether they are great or small. You know, the great didn't come to his banquet, and he said, well, he was furious. And the refusal to accept the invitation of God invited disaster. The king was enraged and sent his troops. To refuse God invites disaster. In a sense, sin is its own punishment. God so frequently, at least in my life, has saved me from the consequences of my sins. But God says if we persist in sinning, all right, you're going to experience the consequence of your sin. It's like I always say, the little kid who wants to touch the stove, mommy says hot, and he persists, and she knows it's not that hot, and it's not going to hurt him. And so he touches the stove and he howls. I told you it was hot, kid. You know, I don't recommend doing this unless the stove is merely warm. You know, I was raised as a free range child. Don't do this now. So, if we persist in not following the statutes of the law, we're like a little kid who won't follow the statutes of his mommy and daddy, and he insists on touching the hot stove. He will experience the consequences of his stupidity. So then you go out into the streets and you invite the bad and the good alike. It's fascinating. The bad and the good alike are invited. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody goes to heaven, because he goes on to say that if a person doesn't come in a wedding garment, if the person doesn't do his part, and I think that's simply what this means. People say, well, the king provided the wedding. I don't know if he did, but this guy wouldn't even take what the king provided. I've never found a source that could footnote that idea. Well, the host would give you a wedding garment. I don't think that's... I have no source for that, so I don't think it's true. But he was cast out into the outer darkness. Many are invited, but few are chosen. So we disregard the statutes of the Lord, which are given to us out of his love. We disregard them at our own peril. All right, we're going to go to Father Rocky, and he's always got something interesting to say, so we'll listen to Father Rocky.
Father Rocky here, asking you to answer the call. If you haven't had a chance to give yet, please consider becoming a member of our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Our St. Joseph members donate at least $25 a month on a recurring basis. Knowing that we can count on those gifts every month helps us to budget better. You build it into your budget, we do the same, and everyone's happy. Our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society members receive several spiritual benefits throughout the year, including being remembered in prayer perpetually on the feast days of St. Joseph. You can learn more about it at relevantradio.com/Joseph. We have a 100% dollar-for-dollar match this hour to answer the call and have your gift of any amount doubled. Give online at relevantradio.com on the Relevant Radio app. Or you can call us at 877-291-0123. May God bless you.
We are on the second to the last day of Pledge Drive, and we are at 57% of our goal. We got a ways to go before tomorrow afternoon meeting our need of $3 million. No, it's not nearly enough, but we've got faith in Father Simon's listeners today that we can clean up some here. I think we need to set a record number of gifts or dollars coming in for the hour. And if we want to beat the all-time record, yes, the all-time record amount of money raised during Father Simon, we need to raise $45,000 this hour.
$45,000. All right.
Yes.
What part of that can you take care of? Let's see.
Are you asking
$10,
me
$20? I'm asking everybody.
Exactly.
I'm asking everybody. Yeah, let's raise
publicly. Oh,
let's raise $45,000 this hour. We just crossed $1.7 million. We still are on our way to that $3 million by tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. So time is ticking. We need to raise money quickly here. Mary, we've got matching funds, 100% dollar-for-dollar match. So it's a great hour to give, is it not?
It's a great hour to give. And the good news, too, on that $45,000 is we're off to a good start. We've already got $8,000. It's been given so far this hour. So you can do the math quick in your head. It's $37,000, roughly, I believe, is where we're at, is what we need left. We can do that. We can easily do that in the next 45 minutes at relevantradio.com using the app on your smartphone or tablet or at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. You know, people like this anonymous donor in Eureka, California step up with a $5,000 gift. Thank you for your help and your support. Doubled to $10,000. I love it. We have an anonymous donor in Peoria, Arizona. $50 gift. That was doubled to $100. If everybody steps up and does their part, we will make this goal of $45,000 for this hour.
Give what you can, and whatever you give, it's going to be doubled. So get on the phone right now, 877-291-0123. Give on the app. You can give at relevantradio.com. Again, we just crossed the $1.7 million mark, and we're on our way to $3 million. We're trying to raise $45,000 this hour. We've already raised $8,000. Let's get to that $45,000 before 2 o'clock in the Drew Mariani Show. Whatever you give this hour, it will be doubled. So get online at 877-291-0123. When you give electronically at relevantradio.com or the app, we have a gift for you. It's a brand new talk from Father Rocky. He shares Cardinal Dolan's 10 resolutions for your Eucharistic revival.
If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voice again, so.
Goodness, that's a lovely song. That's true. When my folks prayed, they were talking to God. That was a great blessing. All right. The phones are open at 888-914-9149. And let me just mention, we really do need your help. We can't do this without you. So I would ask you to give what you can. And again, this is such a privilege to share with you every day. This is your work, so thank you. All right, let's go. The phone is open at 888-914-9149 to ask any question you may have about the Lord, the faith, the church, and the big book on the coffee table. You know, the big one, the Bible. So let's go to letters. Boy, this is a question. Boy, is this a question. Did God the Father, this is from Anonymous, did God the Father feel pain when Jesus was crucified? Did the Holy Spirit feel pain? We say what can be said of the Father can be said of the Son, what can be said of the Son can be said of the Holy Spirit. But there's a heresy called Patripassianism. That's what we call it in the Western Church. It's a version of Sabellianism. Well, that explains it, which is, of course, a version of modalism. Okay, let me explain. There is a belief, or was a belief, taught by a fellow named Sabellius in the early church. And I've heard people these days say it, that in heaven in heaven, God is called the Father. On earth, God is called the Son. In the church, God is called the Spirit. Same being, but no, that's not true. God is a relationship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinct persons who are eternal. Their love for one another is so perfect that they are one in being, yet three in person. A person is a voice. That's how I define person. That's what the Latin word means, really. That there are three speakers in the Trinity. They are in agreement, but there are three persons in the Holy Trinity, distinct and eternal. So you can't say that God the Father suffered physical pain because he does not have physicality, though it is probably acceptable to say that the Father experienced spiritual suffering in union with his Son on the cross, that he gave his only begotten Son. It was a true sacrifice offered by the Father as well as the Son in the Spirit. But you got to be careful about being a modalist, saying that, well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one being in three different manifestations. No, they are not. They are three distinct persons. And you got to avoid Patripassianism, that God the Father was in effect crucified on the cross. No, he wasn't. He suffered non-physically, one can possibly say. But to say that he felt what Jesus felt, the nails on the cross, I don't think that's how God works. That pain was nothing compared to the spiritual reality that was going on. So that's, you know, and again, if there's a good theologian listening and I have misspoken, I long to be corrected. I'm just being a disciple here with the rest of you learning stuff. All right, let's go to another letter. This is from, Dear Father, did I hear, this is from somebody named LP in Los Angeles, in LA, LP in LA. Dear Father, did I hear you mention there were a group of people in Jesus' time that did not go to the temple because it was corrupted? How did things work out for them? What became of that group? Do we know? I'm thinking maybe they were absorbed into Christianity. Probably a lot of them were, but the group we know of that did not do that is generally called the Essenes. There was this whole movement a century and a half, a couple centuries before Christ, in which people rejected the temple because it was taken over by the Maccabees. Now, the Maccabees were a priestly family, but they weren't descended from Zadok. And more than that, they extended the temple platform. The temple platform at the time that Solomon built was perfectly square. It was 500 royal cubits on each side. And the hill of Moriah was leveled off by this platform with its retaining walls. They extended that platform, the Maccabee family, the Hushman, their proper name was the Hushman family. The Maccabees extended that for political or military purposes, it seems. So they had monkeyed with the structure of the temple precinct of Solomon, and that was not good. So these groups decided that a lot of priestly families decided, keep your temple, we'll wait till the Messiah comes, and he'll straighten it out. That was one of the big messianic expectations, that the Messiah would purify the temple, which Jesus did in a symbolic way when he purified the temple and drove out the money changers. Now, what happened to those groups? Well, they were extincted. When the nation of Judea was destroyed by the Romans, they no longer had their feeder groups. Herschel Shanks, the editor of Biblical Archaeological Review, talked about the Judaisms. I prefer to call it the religion or the sects of the religion of Israel. But the Judaisms at the time of Christ, there were lots of different forms of Judaism. There were the Essenes and these Dead Sea sectaries. Then there were the Zealots, and then there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Christians jumped into this. They were called the Nazarenes. So these were all different sects of Judaism. And Herschel Shanks pointed out that only two of the forms of Judaism survived the destruction of the temple. The Sadducees ceased to exist because they had no purpose. Their life revolved around the temple. They were priestly families. They no longer had a function. The Essenes, who their function was to badmouth the temple, they no longer had a purpose for existence. The Zealots were completely defeated, the radical nationalists. The only two forms of the religion of Israel that survived the destruction of the temple and the exile from the Holy Land were Rabbinic Phariseeism and Judaism. That's it. Those are the two forms. This is according to Herschel Shanks of Biblical Archaeological Review, who himself, I think, is Jewish. So, they either just sort of blended into the local population. Their movements ceased because their reason for being ceased. So that's an interesting question. So thanks for asking it. Let's see here. I got it. Let me look at another one. Let's see here. Not that one. I want to use that one for the word of the day. Okay. Let me look at this one. Is this how you get to be on letters? I'm having a hard time figuring out precisely what the resurrection did. It said Jesus died for our sins, yet we can still sin. And sin still has its effects. It seems as if there are numerous actions and inactions that prevent one from entering heaven. Again, entering heaven. Our goal is not to go to heaven. It is to be one with God. I think I'm going to have to come back to this because this is a huge theme. Our goal isn't going to heaven. Our goal is to become part of God. I'll explain it, when we come back and, we'll talk about it because it's a good letter. Whoever sent it, is Mark from, I think, from Chicago. This is a very, it hits at the core of what we're talking about. But right now, we got important stuff. We're going to the Pitch Center, so, hey, better up.
Did Father Simon say batter up? We're here. Neil Robbins and Mary Graham asking you to answer the call. We have a 100% dollar-for-dollar match this hour. Not every hour is a matching hour, but this is a matching hour. So we need to hear from you now. 877-291-0123. Give online at relevantradio.com or by tapping the Relevant Radio app. We are looking to raise $45,000 this hour. $45,000. And we are already down to only needing $33,000 before the top of the hour. Please help out any way you can by jumping online on the app or at relevantradio.com or by calling our number 877-291-0123. How about that, Mary? Already down to $33,000.
If we can keep this pace up, we are going to do it, Neil. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Only 33 minutes left in this hour, and we need $33,000. Kind of like how that number works out. Rita in Prior Lake, Minnesota, thank you for your $100 gift. It was doubled to $200. Mona in Packawaukee, Wisconsin, $250, doubled to $500. Patrick in La Crescent, Minnesota, your $25 gift was doubled to $50. And you can do that too at relevantradio.com by using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or by calling 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. One of my favorite parts about listening to the radio are the miracle moments that we hear from people, how Relevant Radio has changed their life, how it's impacted their life. We want to hear your miracle moment when you make that gift. Let us know, how has Relevant Radio changed your life? Or perhaps you've seen it, you know, witnessed it happen in somebody else's life. Tell us the story. We want to hear from you. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. $33,000 left. If we can raise that in this hour, we will have a record hour for Father Simon on a Thursday.
Let's go, Father Simon fans. Show your support for Relevant Radio and for Father Simon. Help us wipe out that $33,000 by the end of the hour. Again, we're marching toward a need by tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock of $3 million. And late last hour, I think we crossed $1.7 million. So we still have a long way to go. Whatever you can give, it will be doubled this hour. Thank you, Anonymous in Reno, Nevada, for your $10 gift becoming $20. Peter in Pearl River, New York, with a $240 gift. Thank you so much. Teresa in Upland, California, a brand new donor. Thank you, Teresa, your $100 gift becoming $200. Any amount that you give, whether it's $10, $50, $100, $5,000, whatever you give will be doubled. So jump online now. Help us wipe out that $33,000 before the end of the hour. And the Drew Mariani Show. Give on the app, relevantradio.com, or 877-291-0123.
You're vital to our mission to bring Christ
to the world through the media.
The Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive continues.
Answer the call.
Welcome, welcome. I want to continue. Let me read this letter. It's from a fellow named Mark in Chicago. I'm having a hard time figuring out precisely what the resurrection did. It said that Jesus died for our sins, yet we can still sin. And sin still has its effects. It seems as though there are numerous actions and inactions that prevent one from entering heaven. And the only other option is hell. Did the death and resurrection of Jesus provide only a small chance for salvation? And how has the outlook for the majority of souls substantially improved after the resurrection? All right, I'm going to try and answer this fast. Fasten your seatbelts. Jesus did say, narrow is the gate. Narrow is the road. I'd have to find more cheese slipping off the cracker. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. That's what Jesus said. Many are called, but few are chosen. We have that in today's reading. However, that said, let us kind of refine things here. Perhaps you've heard me say that our goal is not to go to heaven. You know, other religions talk about heaven. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about becoming part of the family, which is God. You know, we were talking about the idea of a real Trinity of person, that God is relationship. God is perfect love. God is relationship. And our destiny, not our fate, but our destiny, if we cooperate with God's grace, is to be brought into that relationship, which is God. Not to become gods, but to be brought into that relationship, which is God, to become members of the perfect family. That's our goal. And it's interesting. I spend so much time talking about the way I define kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom, the royalty of the heavens. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise was the walled garden where you walked in friendship with the king. And that's paradise is what God offers us. But it's about the relationship with the King. It's relationship to Him and through Him with all believers and with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So that's our goal, not just to get the mansion on the street of gold and all that. Our goal is to become one with God. So there you go. Now, what did the death and resurrection of Christ do? It showed the absolute love of God. I remember a story that Cardinal George told. He met a person who had been raised as a pagan, a real pagan. People who are pagans now, they're really post-Christian. They still value humility and charity and all these things that Christianity gave the culture. They just don't know that's where they came from. But this was a real pagan, an indigenous Alaskan person. And she had been baptized and was a Christian. And Cardinal George asked her, what was the best thing about baptism? And she looked at him and without hesitation, she said, we no longer had to be afraid of the gods. You see, the gods of the pagans are capricious and uninterested in humanity. The death and resurrection of Christ showed the nature of God, that God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That's what the cross did. And the resurrection gives us the hope of eternity. So what did the death and resurrection of the Lord do? They gave us hope and life and a demonstration of what God is really like. And if that's nothing, well, then there's nothing that's anything. That's everything. So we live in this difficult world. It's a temporary thing. Death awaits us all. It's pretty grim. But when we look to the cross and we look to the empty tomb, we have love and hope and something in which we can perfectly trust. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these, St. Paul says, is love. And that was what God showed on the cross. So I hope that means something to you. Well, we got empty phone lines. And I'm not on tomorrow. Tomorrow's our push to the goalpost. The pitch extravaganza, the voice of my just called it. But, the big schmooze is what I call it. So do call in at 888-914-9149. But right now, let us go to the word of the day. And the word of the day also comes from a letter. Baptize. That's what the word of the day is. 1 Corinthians 15:29. I don't understand this passage about being baptized for the dead. Could you explain this for me, please? Thank you so much. Mormons believe what some early Christian heretics believed, that you could be baptized for the sake of dead people. It was something, that the early Christians were thinking about, but that's probably not what St. Paul meant. Let us look at the word baptize. That simply means to immerse. St. Paul says in that passage about the resurrection, when all things have been subjected to Him, Jesus, the Son Himself, will be made subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. If these things are not so, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? We assume that means the sacrament of baptism. The word baptism simply means immersion. The Jews practiced lots of baptisms, not just the sacrament of baptism. They baptized dishes. They baptized clothes. They baptized themselves in mikvahs, which were ritual baths. So when we see the word baptism in Greek, it doesn't necessarily mean the sacrament of initiation. That's an important thing to understand, that St. Paul may have been talking about people who, and when someone, if you were in contact with a dead body, you had to baptize yourself. You had to immerse yourself in water as a Jew. That may be what he's referring to. If these things are not so, what will those do who are immersed for the sake, because they've touched a dead body? It could mean that. Or it could mean a practice that was going on that St. Paul didn't necessarily approve of but that was happening. So the church has always said, you can't be baptized after death. It's not going to happen. This is the opportunity. So I hope that helps. St. Paul could have been referring to ritual immersions, or he could have been referring to the custom that, though practiced, was not approved. So just because it's there, St. Paul isn't saying, why then are we doing this wonderful thing of being baptized for the dead if there's no resurrection? The church has unanimously rejected, with the exception of a few early heretics, the church has unanimously rejected the idea that you can have a sacramental relationship with the Lord except when you're alive in this world. That said, we got a miracle moment coming up.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Hey, Valerie, how you doing?
I just wanted to thank you for your awesome broadcast.
The Faith Explained and the Cale Clark Show.
My 20-year-old daughter and I have been listening for the last couple months to Relevant Radio, and it has really been a tipping point for each of us to make a choice to convert from Mormonism.
Oh, wow.
And the series on the Mormon Church, that really, it's just been answering prayers. And we've been going to Mass. I'm learning how to pray the rosary. We start our RCIA classes in about a month. Wow. I'm almost 60 years old, and I feel like I'm restarting my spiritual walk.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio. Tap the Relevant Radio app or give online at relevantradio.com.
Simon says we have a goal of $45,000 and we are making a big dent, down to only needing another $25,000 in the last 20 minutes. How much of that $25,000 can you help us with at relevantradio.com using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or by calling 877-291-0123? That's 877-291-0123.
Yeah, and down to $24,000 now needed before the top of the hour. Mary, Neil Robbins along with Mary Graham asking you to answer the call right now, trying to raise $45,000 during this hour of Father Simon Says to set a brand new Father Simon Says record for a Thursday. Please help us to break this record right now by getting online. Again, your gift is going to be doubled with whatever amount it is. RelevantRadio.com, the app, or by calling 877-291-0123. 877-291-0123. Mary, how about that miracle moment we just came out of a moment ago with the mother and her daughter leaving Mormonism because of one of Cale Clark's programs, and they're becoming Catholic now. That, you know, what is it? And let's make some more miracle moments. You make those miracle moments happen when you give at relevantradio.com on the app or at 877-291-0123, Mary.
And down to $22,000 is what we need in the last 15 minutes. We are going to make that happen when we get people like Jessica in Modesto made a special $1,200 gift. Thank you for your help. And you know, Neil, I am just overjoyed with the generosity of our listeners and the Father Simon listeners. It fills my heart with joy when I see people like Corinne in Chicago. She made a second gift during this pledge drive of $50. Thank you so much. And there's another one, a second gift coming in from Blanca in Upland, California.
Her second gift
was $2,500. Thank you. It's gifts like that that are going to reach our goal that much faster. $45,000 is what we need before the end of this hour, which is only 15 minutes away, and we're about halfway through that little mini goal for the hour. How much of that $22,000 we have left can you help us with? Make your gift at relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app.
Only $22,000 to wipe out before the end of Father Simon Says, and when Drew comes on the air, please help us out with any amount you can. $10, $50, $100, whatever you can do will be a great help to us. Your gift will be doubled. Give it relevantradio.com on the app or by calling 877-291-0123. Answer the call.
Irish music, which oddly enough is very popular among Germans. Germans are always going to these Irish music contests. Go figure. Well, it's great music, that's why. All right, 888-914-9149. The phones are open. 888-914-9149. We got lots of room and we actually have some time. So, whom do we have on the line?
The phone is ringing.
Mary Kay from Southern California. What can I do for you, Mary Kay?
Hi, Heather. It's good to talk to you. I could had a dance at Irish Jig since I've got Irish and German and English and Scotch, and I don't even know what I'm doing. Today's gospel, I hope it was the same. I went to a special mass for the people in our parish, and so it was the thing about the king inviting everybody to his wedding party for his son. Right. Okay. Years ago when we were studying, I thought, you know what? That reminds me of what purgatory might be, because it seems, you know, we're all invited in, but we don't have to bring what we need to get in there. We have to be willing to follow the Lord and get cleaned up and given our new garments. And the guy who slipped in refused to talk to the Lord and to the king about it. What do you think?
That's, you know, I think that's, you know, I was always taught when I was a kid too, that the garment was a gift, which if it's a king, that might be. Kings would give garments, but I don't know there's any actual reference to that in the ancient world, but I think it's plausible. But I think the deal is that it's all grace. I think you're right. And the invitation is grace. But if you refuse to cooperate with grace, what God gives you, well, good luck with that. So, yeah, I think that's a good interpretation of it. Certainly, I'll go with it. There you go.
Because it seemed to me that those people were coming from the highways and the byways. They were rich, poor, good, and bad. And the fact is that they couldn't, you know, didn't say, oh, I'm invited. Let me go home and get a garment, because they probably didn't have a wedding garment. So
that's a good point. Well, yes.
On that time that was going to be a waiting room when they arrived, right?
We forget how extremely expensive cloth was. We have all this cheap cloth made by sometimes forced workers. But we have all this cloth. In the ancient world, cloth was handmade. It was very expensive. Garments were very expensive. So, you know, I think it's plausible, though I can't footnote it, but I do think it's plausible that the garment might have been a gift from the king. Kings, I know we see that in scripture. Pharaoh gave garments to Joseph and his brothers, that kind of thing. I think that's an interesting take on it. So there you go. So how are things in Southern California? Hot?
Very warm. Very, very warm.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've got a lot of family in Southern California. Yes, I stayed here in the frozen Midwest. The cold weather builds character. Well, you're right. Well, thanks.
You know what? You've got the heat that's moist, right? I came from Michigan,
Then you know from Michigan. It's moist. I have a lot of relatives in Fresno. City motto, it's a dry heat. Oh, well, I should let you go. I take another call, but nice to talk to you. God bless and thanks for listening.
God bless
you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we have no other calls yet. Oh, I could sit talking about the weather in Fresno. But instead, let me go to another letter here. I've got more letters. 888. We got one? Mercedes, what can I do for your Mercedes?
Hi, Father. The word discourse, like Last Supper discourse or any other discourse, what does that mean?
It means a speech. That's all it means. It's a French, it comes from a French word meaning a speech. That's all it is. The Last Supper sermon, a discourse. So, in fact, I could actually look up the etymology here. Why don't I do that? There's a French word. Is it discours? I can never say I actually did a wedding in France, in French, and my French could confuse God. it's terrible. But the word for peaches and sins in French is only one accent mark different. So I kept asking God to forgive our many peaches, which I have no doubt he did. So let me figure what, so it's a true story. And the celebrating clergy were looking at me like I'd lost my mind, which I kind of didn't. No, I'm getting the French definition here, which I don't want. I want English. Well, this is what we call great radio, isn't it? Okay. Okay. Discourse, etymology. Okay, back in English. It actually comes from the Latin word to run away. And it meant to run. It came into French from the word running back and forth. So I guess it refers in old French to running off at the mouth. Okay, well, so this is a discourse, so I hope that helps. It means a speech, so a longish speech to run on. So there we go. Does that help?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yes, on to the next discourse. Whom do we have on the line, dear voice in my head? Paul from Tampa. What can I discourse on for you?
Hey, Father Simon. I had a conversation with the Jehovah's Witness gentleman.
Yes.
And
yes,
somehow we got to the fact that they say nowhere in the Bible does it state that the soul is immortal, that when we die, we're gone, we're dead. And it's very strange. And he says, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And yet it does. I just wondered what you think of this and where do they get that?
They get it because they rewrite the Bible according to their own preferences. Let me find a verse. Okay, so unto himself, let me. Okay, Psalm 49:15. God will redeem my life from the underworld. The word life here is psyche, which means soul. Psalm 16:10, you will not abandon my soul to the underworld, which Sheol, Hades, the world of the dead. No, there's two psalms right there where it talks about the soul. They kind of rewrite the Bible to make it fit what they want to believe. I'll never forget an encounter that I had with Jehovah's Witnesses. I was dressed in plain clothes once on a day off, and I was going to visit a friend and his poor wife. He was away, but his poor wife with three little kids was standing on the porch being harassed by three people in magnificent suits. And I was dressed in blue jeans and a flannel shirt, the American folkloric outfit. And I looked at them, and they looked at me, and they said, "And you, what do you think about religion?" And I said, "Oh, it's okay in its proper place." And they talked about, "Now, do you believe that Jesus rose physically from the dead?" And I said, "I thought it said in the Bible somewhere. I thought I read that touch me and see that I'm not a ghost." And they said, "Oh, do you believe everything you read?" And I said, "No, wait a minute. You're up on this porch bothering my friend's wife because that book under your arm gives you the right to do so. If you can tell me whose authority stands behind the Bible, I'll join your church." And they said, "Well, it's the Word of God." "Well, why is it the Word of God? Did God stand on a mountain, dance about, and say, 'This is my word'?" "Well, it's the Word of God." And finally, one little girl said, "I think King James, they couldn't tell me whose authority it was, so I'm still a Catholic." So there you go. They rewrite the Bible to their own convenience, so you don't have to pay attention to them. But you do have to pay attention to this. Call center, is that where we're going? Pay attention. Nice to talk to you.
Yes. Please pay attention. Answer the call. We have about 5 minutes left in the hour. Neil Robbins along with Mary Graham to wrap up Father Simon Says this afternoon. A 100% dollar-for-dollar match. We set a goal earlier this hour of raising $45,000 this hour. And great news, we only have $20,000 left to tick away in the next 5 minutes. We can do this, but we may need a $5,000 gift along the way. Can you do a $5,000 gift? Somebody out there can. We always get those gifts during a pledge drive.
please get a hold of us at relevantradio.com, on the app, or 877-291-0123. You probably can't do 5,000, so whatever you can give, please give us a call and help us wipe that last $20,000 out before the end of Father Simon Says. We have a special gift for you if you give online as well. It's a brand new talk that you'll immediately get. It's Father Rocky guiding you through Cardinal Dolan's 10 resolutions for your Eucharistic revival. That is yours when you give online at relevantradio.com or Mary Graham on that Relevant Radio app.
That's right. You can also call 877-291-0123 and make your gift. But if you want that download, you will need to give your gift on one of those two digital platforms, either the website or the app. We want to say thank you to an anonymous donor in Fountain Valley, California, made a special gift of $10. Here's another one of those second gifts for this pledge drive. Patricia in Orlando, thank you so very much for your gift of $1 a day. An anonymous donor in Eldridge also made a second gift for this pledge drive. Thank you for your special gift of $150. We are down to only needing $19,000. And I know there's somebody listening right now that's in a position they could do a 5, 10, or even that whole entire $20,000. If that's you, help us make this goal for this hour of $45,000. We'll be setting an all-time record for Father Simon. And you can say, hey, I'm part of that team that made that happen and made a new bar for Father Simon for a Thursday afternoon. Call us now at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. You can also answer the call at relevantradio.com or on the app with your smartphone or tablet.
You know, Mary, our Relevant Radio family continues to grow. Thanks be to God, more and more listeners every day. And that's thanks to you for spreading the word out there, and maybe a couple of billboards here and there as well. But we continue to grow our audience footprint as well, because we just added another new station. We added Seattle recently. That's 1590 AM. If you have anybody, any family members, friends that live in the Seattle area, 1590. Help Relevant Radio continue to grow. Help us continue to bring Christ to the world through the media. Given whatever amount you can right now, we have a dollar for dollar match for at least the next 2 or 3 minutes until the top of the hour. Not sure if next hour will be, but right now we know it is a partnership challenge hour, a 100% dollar for dollar match. I think we have, what do we have, Mary, about $18,000 to go. Let's go. We got to push the foot down on the pedal to the metal, as they say. Let's wipe out that last $18,000. RelevantRadio.com, the app, or 877-291-0123.
Thank you to Douglas in South Portland, Maine, for your special gift of $50. It was matched, became $100. We have Cheryl in Yorba Linda, California. $100 became $200. Alexander in Munster, Indiana said, I want this to happen, and I've already given during this pledge drive, but here's another $20. Thank you. That makes a difference. That helps tremendously. Thank you to an anonymous donor in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. $100 gift. All of these gifts are doubled. Thank you so much for your help and your support. Carol in Rudolph, Wisconsin, $1,000. That was doubled to $2,000. We are really in a position, if we could have a few more people like Larry in Escondido, California, making that $1,200 gift, that will help us get there that much faster. Call now, 877-291-0123. Oh, this is the way we do it. 877-291-0123. You can use the app on your smartphone, or you can go to relevantradio.com.
Give whatever you can right now. Please answer the call. Help us set this new record for Father Simon Says while we have matching funds, and that is right now. Give what you can. Help us to wipe out that last $15,000, $14,000, whatever it is, before the top of the hour. Give what you can right now. Get online at relevantradio.com. You can tap the Relevant Radio app that's been streamlined so you can get on and off as quickly as possible. 877-291-0123, down to $12,000. 877-291-0123. Give now.